April 7th. Today's reading from the Old Testament is in the book of Deuteronomy chapters 31 and a portion of chapter 32. Before we begin, let me give you an overview of what's happening here. In chapter 31, Moses could have closed his life under a dark cloud of discouragement. Instead, he finishes well. That's a great principle for you and me today. Finish well. He gave encouragement to his people as they faced the challenge of a new life in a new land under a new leader. They were no longer slaves, but free. The difficulties were obvious and the challenges would be great. And as we go on into Deuteronomy chapter 32, we'll see that God gave Moses a song. Yeah, he was a songwriter. God gave Moses this song to teach the people so that they would learn to love and obey him. Our songs today should follow this pattern by revealing the greatness and goodness of the Lord and thus encouraging us to live for him. Now the key image for God is the rock. That's rock with a capital R. He is the rock. It speaks of his stability in a changing world and his dependability in a demanding world. The rock is our Savior, is our Father, and our Deliverer. He is all that we need. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. April 7th, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1 through chapter 32, verse 27. When Moses had finished saying these things to all the people of Israel, he said, "I am now 120 years old and am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me that I will not cross the Jordan River, but the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua is your new leader, and he will go with you, just as the Lord promised. The Lord will destroy the nations living in the land, just as he destroyed Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites. The Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you will deal with them as I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God will go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor forsake you." Then Moses called for Joshua. And as all Israel watched, he said to him, "Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to give their ancestors. You are the one who will deliver it to them as their inheritance. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor forsake you." So Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests, who carried the Ark of the Lord's covenant, and to the leaders of Israel. Then Moses gave them this command: at the end of every seventh year, the year of release, during the festival of shelters, you must read this law to all the people of Israel when they assemble before the Lord your God at the place he chooses. Call them all together, men, women, children, and the foreigners living in your towns, so they may listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully obey all the terms of this law. Do this so that your children, who have not known these laws, will hear them and will learn to fear the Lord your God. Do this as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The time has come for you to die. Call Joshua and take him with you to the tabernacle, and I will commission him there." So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tabernacle. And the Lord appeared to them in a pillar of cloud at the entrance to the sacred tent. The Lord said to Moses, "You are about to die and join your ancestors. After you are gone, these people will begin worshiping foreign gods, the gods of the land where they are going. They will abandon me and break the covenant I have made with them. Then my anger will blaze forth against them. I will abandon them, hiding my face from them, and they will be destroyed. Terrible trouble will come down on them, so that they will say, 'These disasters have come because God is no longer among us.' At that time, I will hide my face from them on account of all the sins they have committed by worshiping other gods. Now write down the words of this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Teach them to sing it, so it may serve as a witness against them. For I will bring them into the land I swore to give their ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. They will become prosperous. They will eat all the food they want and become well nourished. Then they will begin to worship other gods. They will despise me and break my covenant. Then great disasters will come down on them, and this song will stand as evidence against them, for it will never be forgotten by their descendants. I know what these people are like. Even before they have entered the land, I swore to give them. So that very day, Moses wrote down the words of the song and taught it to the Israelites. Then the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, with these words, "Be strong and courageous. You must bring the people of Israel into the land I swore to give them. I will be with you." When Moses had finished writing down this entire body of law in a book, he gave these instructions to the Levites, who carried the Ark of the Lord's Covenant. "Take this book of the law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, so it may serve as a witness against the people of Israel. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Even now, while I am still with you, you have rebelled against the Lord. How much more rebellious will you be after my death? Now summon all the leaders and officials of your tribes, so that I can speak to them and call heaven and earth to witness against them. I know that after my death, you will become utterly corrupt and will turn from the path I have commanded you to follow. In the days to come, disaster will come down on you, for you will make the Lord very angry by doing what is evil in his sight." So Moses recited this entire song to the assembly of Israel. "Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words that I say. My teaching will fall on you like rain. My speech will settle like dew. My words will fall like rain on tender grass, like gentle showers on young plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How glorious is our God! He is the rock. His work is perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright he is! But they have acted corruptly toward him. When they act like that, are they really his children? They are a deceitful and twisted generation. Is this the way you repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Isn't he your father who created you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of long ago. Think about the generations past. Ask your father, and he will inform you. Inquire of your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High assigned lands to the nations, when he divided up the human race, he established the boundaries of the peoples, according to the numbers of angelic beings. For the people of Israel belong to the Lord. Jacob is his special possession. He found them in a desert land, in an empty, howling wasteland. He surrounded them and watched over them. He guarded them as his most precious possession. Like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spread his wings to take them in and carried them aloft on his pinions. The Lord alone guided them. They lived without any foreign gods. He made them ride over the highlands. He let them feast on the crops of the fields. He nourished them with honey from the cliffs, with olive oil from the hard rock. He fed them curds from the herd and milk from the flock, together with the fat of lambs and goats. He gave them choice rams and goats from Bashan, together with the choicest wheat. You drank the finest wine, made from the juice of grapes. But Israel soon became fat and unruly. The people grew heavy, plump, and stuffed. Then they abandoned the God who had made them. They made light of the rock of their salvation. They stirred up his jealousy by worshiping foreign gods. They provoked his fury with detestable acts. They offered sacrifices to demons, non-gods, to gods they had not known before, to gods only recently arrived. to gods their ancestors had never feared. You neglected the rock who had fathered you. You forgot the God who had given you birth. The Lord saw this and was filled with loathing. He was provoked to anger by his own sons and daughters. He said, I will abandon them. I will see to their end. For they are a twisted generation, children without integrity. They have roused my jealousy by worshiping non-gods. They have provoked my fury with useless idols. Now I will rouse their jealousy by blessing other nations. I will provoke their fury by blessing the foolish Gentiles. For my anger blazes forth like fire and burns to the depths of the grave. It devours the earth and all its crops and ignites the foundations of the mountains. I will heap disasters upon them and shoot them down with my arrows. I will send against them wasting famine, burning fever, and deadly disease. They will be troubled by the fangs of wild beasts, by poisonous snakes that glide in the dust. Outside, the sword will bring death, and inside, terror will strike both young men and young women, both infants and the aged. I decided to scatter them, so even the memory of them would disappear. But I feared the taunt of the enemy, that their adversaries might misunderstand and say, Our power has triumphed. It was not the Lord who did this. April 7th. Our reading in the New Testament today will be from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 8 through 34. Here's an overview. It talks about a fearful heart. You know, when you fear people, you start to hide things, and this leads to hypocrisy. You fail to confess Christ openly and depend on the Holy Spirit, and this silences your witness. But when you fear God alone, you need fear, no one else or nothing else, and you can boldly witness for Christ. You are important to God and precious in His sight. So, never fear what people can say or do. And today as we look into the book of Luke, we'll hear about a divided heart. The word translated worry means to be pulled apart. And that is what worry does to you. If your heart is centered on Christ and trusting wholly in Him, well, you'll have a united heart that fears God alone. If your treasures are heavenly, well, you need not worry. No enemy can take them. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. April 7th, Luke chapter 12, verses 8 through 34. And I, Jesus, assure you of this. If anyone acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I, the Son of Man, will openly acknowledge that person in the presence of God's angels. But if anyone denies me here on earth, I will deny that person before God's angels. Yet those who speak against the Son of Man may be forgiven, but anyone who speaks blasphemies against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. And when you are brought to trial, in the synagogues and before rulers and authorities, don't worry about what to say in your defense, for the Holy Spirit will teach you what needs to be said, even as you are standing there. Then someone called from the crowd, Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Jesus replied, Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? Then he said, Beware, don't be greedy for what you don't have. Real life is not measured by how much we own. And he gave an illustration. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. In fact, his barns were full to overflowing. So he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store everything, and I'll sit back and say to myself, My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get it all? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Then, turning to his disciples, Jesus said, So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or clothes to wear, for life consists of far more than food and clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns because God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to Him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. And if worry can't do little things like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't He more surely care for you? You have so little faith. And don't worry about food, what to eat and drink. Don't worry whether God will provide it for you. These things dominate the thoughts of most people, but your Father already knows your needs. He will give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven, and the purses of heaven have no holes in them. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will also be. We're reading today from Psalm 78. And as we said last time we were together, this is a long psalm. It reviews the whole history of Israel. The Exodus, their wilderness journey for 40 years, the conquest of Canaan, and disciplines God sent them there. Israel was a rebellious nation, but God was gracious and gave the people opportunities to start again. Now, this is not an excuse for us to sin and tempt God, but it's an encouragement to repent when we do sin. God's answer to Israel's needs was to give them a spiritual leader, David, the shepherd, and he sought to serve the Lord and love the flock of Israel. People have not changed. We're still the same. Now, they still rebel against God. There's still a need for faithful instructors in the home and leaders in the nation. So do all you can to help the next generation serve the Lord in an acceptable way. Psalm chapter 78, verses 32 through 55. But in spite of this, the people kept on sinning. They refused to believe in His miracles. So He ended their lives in failure and gave them years of terror. When God killed some of them, the rest finally sought Him. They repented and turned to God. Then they remembered that God was their rock, that their Redeemer was the Most High. But they followed Him only with their words. They lied to Him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal to Him. They did not keep His covenant. Yet He was merciful and forgave their sins and didn't destroy them all. Many a time He held back His anger and did not unleash His fury. For He remembered that they were merely mortal, gone in a moment, like a breath of wind, never to return. Oh, how often they rebelled against Him in the desert and grieved His heart in the wilderness. Again and again they tested God's patience and frustrated the Holy One of Israel. They forgot about His power and how He rescued them from their enemies. They forgot His miraculous signs in Egypt, His wonders on the plain of Zoan. For He turned their rivers into blood, so no one could drink from the streams. He sent vast swarms of flies to consume them, and hordes of frogs to ruin them. He gave their crops to caterpillars. Their harvest was consumed by locusts. He destroyed their grapevines with hail and shattered their sycamores with sleet. He abandoned their cattle to the hail, their livestock to bolts of lightning. He loosed on them His fierce anger, all His fury, rage, and hostility. He dispatched against them a band of destroying angels. He turned His anger against them. He did not spare the Egyptians' lives, but handed them over to the plague. He killed the oldest son in each Egyptian family, the flower of youth throughout the land of Egypt. But he led his own people like a flock of sheep, guiding them safely through the wilderness. He kept them safe, so they were not afraid. But the sea closed in upon their enemies. He brought them to the border of his holy land. To this land of hills he had won for them. He drove out the nations before them. He gave them their inheritance by lot. He settled the tribes of Israel into their homes. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 21 through 23. No real harm befalls the godly, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord hates those who don't keep their word, but he delights in those who do. Wise people don't make a show of their knowledge, but fools broadcast their folly.